Let's catch up with this Glowworm Roadshow. Professor Kurt Kraus from University of Otago joins me now. Hi there, Kurt.
Kia ora, Jesse.
Good. How's the road trip going?
Oh, it's been great. Actually, it's been fantastic. We started out in Wellington and toured through the botanical gardens where some of the earliest published descriptions of the glowworm arose. And then we were in Palmerston North yesterday, and now we're in Tamaranui. It's been great.
What's the point of the trip?
Well, it's about 11 New Zealand and Australian scientists and science communicators that are working their way up New Zealand, and we're sharing, exchanging information, advancing research, culminating in a hui at Waitomo Glowworm Caves that's going to be day after tomorrow, where we've sort of put all the knowledge together. Now, everybody loves the glowworm, right? If you're from New Zealand, you've got to love the glowworm.
Yeah.
But it's actually really quite a unique insect. It's incredible. It has a number of secrets. Its glowing chemistry is unique compared to other glowing insects. There's so many things that we don't know about the glowworm, so we all get together in order to share information. I'm a biochemist, and what I'm interested in is the biochemistry of what makes the glowworm glow. It's an enzyme reaction, but in order to really do what we need to do, we have to get together with entomologists who study the biology of the glowworm, geneticists, analytical chemists, organic chemists. We've got some science communicators with us. And it kind of takes a village in order to really begin to understand what to do. And the other thing, of course, with climate change, you worry, we want to make sure that the glowworm is around for generations to come so that, you know, hundreds of years from now, people will be enjoying the glowworm as much as we do. So the more we know about the glowworm, the better it is. And Waitomo is probably, I guess, the spiritual home of the glowworm in New Zealand, right? And so we wanted to get together with people from the Ruapuha Uokawa Hapu Trust and with the Kaitiaki at Waitomo, who's Shannon Corkill, and share and partner together in order to make sure that we're doing things right in terms of our glowworm research.
Yeah, they are pretty exciting things. I'm looking at some beautiful photos now of inside those glowworm caves. How sure are you that there is only one species of glowworm in New Zealand?
Oh, that's actually a really great point, because traveling with me is Dave Merritt, who's probably internationally the most famous glowworm researcher in the world. And he played an important role in determining that Australia, who has cousins, the glowworms, they have glowworms in Australia, ours seem to be a bit bigger and in some ways a bit more vibrant, but in Australia they have 8 species. And so Dave, along with some scientists from New Zealand, Julia Casper, for example, from Te Papa, and Peter Dearden, and a number of folks, are looking at the genetics of the glowworm from New Zealand to see could the New Zealand glowworm be more than one species. Right now, as you mentioned, it's thought to be one called Arachnocampa luminosa, sort of the official name. But we're getting more and more evidence that actually the glowworms at Otago may be different from the glowworms on the North Island.
Huh.
And it remains to be seen, are we going to have even more than one, maybe even more than two species?
Yeah, at least a North and a South Island version. What are their major vulnerabilities? Anything to suggest that climate change might impact the glowworms?
Well, I don't have a formal answer for you yet, but I think insects are, it's a very delicate insect, and it's going to be subject to a lot of stresses. We went around a somewhat smaller but similar tour last year, and then again, we're doing it again this year. If anything, I think the numbers look very good this year. I'm really pleased. We were blown away by the display in Wellington and the Botanical Gardens, thinking of how close it is to the Central Business District there, but yet how good the numbers were. And maybe in some ways they're sort of a canary-type species to warn us. If their numbers begin to drop, we need to be careful. So one of the things we do is we learn how to feed them, we learn how to raise them, we learn about their life cycle, we learn about when they glow and how they synchronize their glow, kind of thinking that the more we know, the better we can help prepare the glowworm, you know, to be sure that it's around for, you know, your kids and their kids and kids to follow.
What makes them glow, Kurt?
So all bioluminescence has been described, you know, for thousands of years, And there's about 40 different systems of bioluminescence that have been described in the world. And it's an enzyme reaction, Jesse. It's always a reaction where an enzyme oxidizes a fuel molecule, a substrate molecule. And it's usually a reaction of oxygen with this fuel results in this glow. So it's enzymes and fuel. And with a colleague, Miriam Sharp, and Oliver Watkins, and some other folks at the University of Otago, we sorted out that the glowworm has a different fuel from any of the other 40 species that have been studied. The fuel is a combination of tyrosine and xanthuranic acid, of all things. And you combine that with oxygen, and you get the special sort of, you know, glowworm glows are very different. If you've been to North America and seen fireflies, it's kind of a yellow-green, mm-hmm. but the glowworm green would be sort of a blue-green. And that chemistry is based on this enzyme reaction. So in my lab, we purified that enzyme and characterized that enzyme. I'm actually traveling with some students who are purifying and characterizing it now. And we're trying to do a final identification of the fuel, because if we can combine the fuel and the enzyme together, similar sorts of systems have had a big impact in biotechnology. So in biotechnology, you can use a luciferase as a method of identifying how much of a gene is being produced, or even identifying, say, where a bacteria is. So we're hopeful that because the chemistry of the glowworm is unique, it might actually end up being behind a big scientific discovery down the road if we describe the chemistry here.
Māori presumably knew about glowworms. They were an important cultural element to Māori, pre-colonial Māori.
Hugely important. And in fact, that's one of the things that we're doing in this trip is touching base with iwi. And a big part of what we do is consultation with iwi and making sure that our work is done in a culturally appropriate and sensitive way. And also tracking stories about glowworms and where it comes out in terms of sort of origin of life stories. There's some origin of life stories that we uncovered from Naitahu history on the South Island that we learned about that indicated that glowworms might have been part of the very earliest light that was recorded on Earth, that the glowworms illuminated some important things that happened at the beginning of the origin of life.
Is it true you got a couple of glowworms in your garage?
We've got two in the basement right now. Huh. My wife is quite an expert at raising glowworms, and when we raise them in the office, they seem to do better at home than in the office, Jesse, for some reason. We rear them to adulthood because when you have an adult... your listeners probably know this already, but big thing about glowworms is they're not worms, right? They're actually flies. But the part that we see that we call a worm is really a larvae, mm-hmm. or sort of a beginning stage of development for the insect. And if you let the larvae grow long enough, and you have to, you know, feed it and house it and keep it comfortable, then it pupates and sort of forms like a cocoon-like structure. And then it emerges from this cocoon as an adult fly. And then the female fly lays eggs, and then the next generation of glowworms continues. And if you raise an adult fly, that's important in characterizing if there's a new species. And I mentioned that Dave Merritt, who's with us, is working on that. And so we've raised some adults for him, and Julia Casper's raising adults for him, and it helps us to advance the research. But yeah, we do have them. And we're not alone. I think people all over New Zealand have been raising glowworms for some time in various containers. So it's a pretty fascinating thing to do. But you got to make sure that you feed them well.
Enjoy the road trip, and thanks for sharing your passion with us today.
Thanks so much for asking us, and love to come back and tell you sometime again soon what we find.
Yeah, you'll always be welcome. Kurt Krause, professor at University of Otago, talking glowworms.